Do you know what time it is? It's supernatural story time. And if you're easily scared, and even if you're not, there's only one thing left to do. Just turn off the lights, because these are stories that you listen to only in the dark.
Troublesome Tales, Volume 2, Story Number 1. My older brother was driving me and my sister back from our biological parents' house, back to our foster parents. They lived a few cities away, so it was a long drive with lots of stops. We pulled into a gas station, and when we got out for snacks, bathroom, etc., everything felt surreal. Like, as soon as we got out of the car, we didn't hear anything. No people, no cars, nothing. It was dead silent. We went inside and looked around for a bit before choosing some snacks. My sister went out for the bathroom, and when she came back, she tugged on my brother's jacket and said, "We have to go." My brother, obviously confused, "What? Hold on. I need to pay." And then my sister just pulled him away, causing him to drop everything. He kind of got mad and pulled away, but when he turned around, she was out the door and sprinting towards the car. Me and my brother looked confused at each other. We agreed we would follow her and see if she was okay. From what she told me, she was definitely not. We both seen some weird things before, and we're both understandably very weary of things around us. She told me that when going to the bathroom, she heard loud scratching footsteps, like someone was dragging their feet with boots on. She ran into the bathroom, locked the door, and did her business. As she was about to open the door, she felt scared all of a sudden, and instead of opening, she put her ear on the door and listened. There it was again, the dragging feet, and this time some huffing. She stayed in the bathroom until it stopped. She slightly opened the door, and seeing nothing, she bolted to the storefront and tried dragging us out. I decided I would help calm her down by bringing her to the bathroom and showing her no one was there. We got out of the car, and I noticed my brother was paying, so we made it quick. We walked over near the bathrooms, and I looked around. When I looked around the side of the building, I saw a small switchblade knife just there on the dirt. It was open and I could see the blade. It was shiny enough that I could see it clearly because of the back door light. I've never backpedaled so hard. We ran back to the car, my brother in tow. I didn't tell her what I saw until a few days later when she asked again. I was scared I would freak her out, so I didn't say anything immediately. It was the scariest thing that's happened to me and my sister up to date. We've had freaky things, but I think that was the first time it might have been a real person. Next story. My friend's father's a truck driver in India. One day he told me a story which changed my perspective on life and truck drivers especially. One night his father was taking a load from rural Madhya Pradesh. The state is one of the most backwards and poorly developed states in India, so you can imagine the state of the highways there. There were no lights whatsoever except your headlights. Anyway, as he took up the load and drove towards the road joining the highways, his assistant warned him about that road. Apparently, it was famous for deaths and paranormal activities. But he was an atheist and never believed in such things. So he drove up the road, and right there in the middle of the road was a burnt SUV. He was scared and didn't know what to do. So he decided to just steer the truck onto the shoulder and drive away. He knew very well not to get down at this time and in this road. At this point, the assistant got very afraid and started cursing and shouting and praying. So he started the truck, and right as he passed the SUV, he just steered right, which turned out to be a big mistake. From the nearby trees, branches, about 10 guys jumped on the truck. They were the famous Puti Dakwa, known for their brutality, and were absolute savages. They were known for leaving their victim's head on a spike. When he heard the sound and saw 10 guys with 5-foot rods and shotguns, his adrenaline went into overdrive. He just started to zigzag, trying to shake them off. Suddenly one gunshot and his assistant's head got blown off. Another rod blew to his right and the glass shattered and struck him right on his face and eyes. But he didn't give up and kept on driving with the erratic gunshot, and guys one by one fell down from the truck. He finally reached the highway and drove 50 miles with a dead guy and one eye before reaching a hospital. This incident happened 20 years before. He lost vision in the right eye and his face is full of scars. But you know what the saddest part was? The police, even after all those years, didn't make a single arrest in the case. I sure hope highway security has improved since then. Next story. I'm pretty sure I was almost murdered by a serial killer. And this is the story. My friend and I were driving from Maine to Las Vegas. At a rest stop late at night, it was empty aside from a beat-up dark truck with a blue tarp covering the back. I went to use the bathroom. I was the only person in this large men's room. I used a private stall at the very back. There were about 5 or 6 stalls. I heard the bathroom door swing open as I'm taking a leak in heavy boots, walked inside ponderously. They stopped outside the door to my stall, to which I raised an eyebrow, and I remembered seeing large black work boots under the door. He tried the door, which was bizarre because it's the only one closed in the entire bathroom. "Someone's in here," I said. He tried the door again, this time aggressively, as if trying to somehow wrench it open. Sometimes you don't swing the lock all the way, and it can still come open. I raised my voice. "Look, man, I'm in here." At this point, I'm struck by an overwhelming sense of dread. I got goosebumps and felt that sensation you get when you're being watched but you don't know who or what is watching you. I don't scare easily, but I was extremely scared looking at those boots and wondering what would happen next. Then the man walked away kind of fast, and for some reason, I got the sense that I screwed up his plans. Whatever it was, the bathroom door swung closed. When I got back to my friend's car, his huge Great Dane was growling like mad, and my friend looked freaked out. I told him, "You won't believe what just..." But he cut me off and said, "Did you see that man?" Puzzled, I shook my head. No. My friend said, "Czar, his dog, started barking like crazy as soon as that man left his truck and went to the bathroom. It's as if he was following you. Czar started freaking out and trying to hop out the window. He wanted to get under that blue tarp covering the track bed. The guy came out in quite a hurry and sped off. I was just about to run in and check on you." He looked at me very seriously. "Czar never barks like that. Ever." I've always remembered that sensation of absolute dread and the blue tarp over the truck. To this day, I wonder what may have been under it. Next story. Well, one day, I decided I needed a 3-month road trip. And it happened after my dad, my aunt, and my uncle all died in the same month. I just needed to clear my head. I just got in my car and drove. Never had a destination or anything. I could have stuck to highways, but I liked taking back roads. There was an old Navajo road that cut down through tribal grounds, and it didn't add too much time, and I had enough gas, so I figured, why not? The night before, I saw tons of meteors in Utah. I was looking forward to a dark road where it's just me and the stars. Kind of joked to a friend back home I was about to hit Skinwalker Country. Well, here I am driving on this narrow road for an hour or so. One side was a cliff wall, and the other side was a steep drop-off. I saw a car way off in the distance, headed in my same direction. As I got closer, it started slowing down. I was going about 65 or so, and by the time I got to it, it's crawling along at 25 miles an hour. I'm kind of riding its ass for a few minutes. The road was a little too dark and windy for me to feel comfortable passing on the left, and their driving was a little erratic, and I was afraid of the drop-off. Suddenly, they slammed on their brakes, and then their lights turned off. There was no phone service out there and nobody else around. So my immediate thought is these guys are trying to get me to rear-end them, or they're trying to make me crash and then rob and assault me. I could tell there were 3 or 4 guys in the car, and I was by myself. Who knows, but either way, it wasn't good. After the lights turned off, it was so dark, I couldn't see their car whatsoever. I started crawling forward, ready to get attacked or crashed into, but I never saw them again. There was nowhere this car could have turned off or turned into. It had to be on the same road. They were gone, though, and I didn't see them at all. For the rest of this Navajo road, I had it floored. I was going 80 miles an hour and couldn't wait to get to phone service or somewhere a little bit better lit. They were driving an older car, and I'm sure it could not have gone faster than I was headed. Never saw them again for the entire 1.5-hour stretch of road. I still have no idea how their car just disappeared. Next story. I was living in upstate New York several summers ago when there was a pretty intense solar flare and the aurora borealis was expected to be visible in Vermont and New Hampshire. I couldn't get anyone interested enough to go with me, so I ended up taking a pretty far drive by myself in hopes I'd get to see it. I was working at a restaurant at the time, so I didn't leave around till 7 p.m. or so, so I didn't have much daylight left. I stupidly just kept driving and eventually had the realization that I was a couple of hours from home, by myself, and in and out of reception, and I was starting to get really tired. I turned around to head home and was getting so tired that shadows started to seem like they were jumping out at me. Crappy reception made it difficult to follow my phone's direction, so I was having to backtrack with some frequency. Somehow I ended up on this dirt road with cornfields on either side and became overwhelmed with anxiety. I ended up coming to a point where there was cornfields on just one side and a couple of distant houses on the other side. At this point I decided this couldn't possibly be the right way, and I started to turn around. I've been blaring music in my car to try to stay awake, so as I'm doing this turn, I sense something over the sound of the music, and I got incredibly anxious. I turned down the volume right as I turned to look around. The same moment, I see a very angry dog barking and lunging at my window. I put the car into gear and hauled ass while the dog chased me a few hundred feet. The adrenaline kept me awake for most of the remaining drive, and I never lost that sense of doom until I pulled into my driveway. I was so bothered by it all that I had a desire to never leave my house again. Luckily, that wore off in the next couple of days. After reading a few stories about truckers seeing dogs as a precursor to falling asleep at the wheel and getting into an accident, it makes me wonder about that dog's significance on that night. Next story. My dad was a taxi driver when I was very young, and he told me this still puzzled him. There's an old abbey in the middle of nowhere near my town that is supposedly very haunted. He was driving past it one night after dropping off a passenger when he saw this guy across the road from the abbey flagging him down. He got in and asked my dad to drive him to the next village and asked if he would wait while he got a takeaway. My dad said this guy seemed really off and just didn't speak or engage with him in any way apart from the initial encounter. He got to the takeaway and the guy said he wouldn't be long, and my dad watched him go in. After 10 minutes, my dad nipped in to see how long he was going to be and found the place empty. The woman at the counter said they had no customers come in for over an hour. I'd like to think he helped the ghost satisfy his Chinese takeaway craving. Next story. I want to preface this by saying I'm not making this up. I'm not a writer. I'm not embellishing it. And this is the story. It happened during a long drive at night. About 14 years ago, four friends and I decided to drive out to Weatherford, Texas, to look at some new Hondas at a dealership after they had closed, because we were stupid high school kids and apparently didn't understand the concept of trespassing. The ringleader of our group of friends drove us in his 96 Honda Civic. We took 730 south towards 180. Around 20 minutes into the drive, with no lights, houses, or other vehicles in sight, his CD player turned off mid-song. No one touched it, and he didn't have controls on his steering wheel. We all thought it was weird, but nothing paranormal. He turned it back on, and we completed the drive. After looking at the cars, the dealership was basically off the highway, we left to head back to our hometown. We ended up taking the reverse route back, this time north up 730. We started joking about the possibility of aliens and what if that was what caused the CD player to turn off. About 2 minutes later, and around the same spot as before, it happened again. This time it went from music to static. At the same time, again, I'm not making this up, a black human-shaped figure materialized out of one of the bushes by the highway and walked into the road in front of our car. I remember the light from our headlights illuminating the space around the figure, but not the figure itself, like it was absorbing the light. There was no shadow that I could see. This was not a guy in a body morph suit. It was like looking at a two-dimensional cartoon of the blackest color you can imagine, and it was reaching its arms out to us. We were going about 55, maybe 60 miles an hour, we had to swerve to avoid it. I remember as we passed it that it had no distinguishing features, no face, no fingers, no clothing, no shape, like a nose protrusion or chin, other than a dark void. We all screamed at the top of our lungs. We almost completely went off the road. After our driver regained control, we sped off as fast as his car could go, carrying 5 people. We had to calm him down so we wouldn't wreck. We were all freaking out, asking each other what the other saw to verify that it wasn't a hallucination. We all saw it. We all had the same experience. When we got back to our town, we were all kind of just in shock and don't know what to say or how to explain it to anyone, or even if we should. There were no reports of anything similar, people having the same encounter on the news, nor were there any reports of a body turning up in the area, or a homeless guy harassing people, or really anything. I'd forgotten about that incident for many years, until a few months ago, when I was hanging out with one of my friends who was there. I asked him if he remembered that night. He does. Still, has no idea what it is, though. Next story. I haven't told anyone about this because I imagined it, but the truth is I've been having nightmares and I need to get it off my chest. I was hauling lumber on 36 East between Fortuna, California and Red Bluff, California on my way to the 5 South. This was in 1995 or 96, right before the coastal lumber industry folded. Route 36 is basically a glorified logging road. It twists through the mountain ranges and goes to one lane several times. Anyway, I got a late start, which was okay, as I liked driving at night anyway. It was probably around 10 or 11 at night. As I crept up into the mountains, there was a nasty bit of fog. I rounded a corner and suddenly there were all these deer just standing in the middle of the road, in the fog. It was kind of creepy, just seeing all those deer standing in the fog, in the middle of the road. I'm used to seeing them running across the road, not standing. I blew my horn and they all turned and looked into my headlights, their ears twitching, the buck's antlers casting long twisted shadows into the fog. I blew my horn again and they lazily walked to the side of the road. I idled forward between them. I looked out my driver window and saw the bucks and does warily looking back at me as I drove through them. But that wasn't the creepy part. I reached the peak and started back down. The fog on the eastern side abated. But as I rounded a corner, I saw a guy walking down the road, down the middle of the oncoming lane, his back to me. He had shoulder-length black hair, wet and stringy from the moisture that had been in the air. He wore a faded blue wool-lined jean jacket, hands in pockets, and darker jean pants. When my lights hit him, he swerved towards the shoulder of the other lane, giving me room. Then the most horrifying thing happened. I was going maybe 25 or 30 miles per hour at this point, but as I came up to him, he suddenly bolted right in front of my truck. The last thing I saw was his wide black eyes and his mouth open in a silent yell, a black pit in his wife's face shining in my headlights before disappearing under the horizon of my hood. I stood on the brakes, the cab and the trailer behind hopping. I remember just thinking, Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus. I hopped out of the cab. I don't remember turning on the flashers and ran back behind the truck. I saw him walking back up the hill behind my truck, hands in his jacket pockets, his back illuminated by my red lights. He looked back at me, his black eyes and black mouth now grinning toothlessly. Then he dashed into the trees at the edge of the road. I was so scared I didn't call out. I just got in my cab and drove on. I still dream about those wide eyes and that unholy mouth disappearing under my hood. I really hope that at some point those nightmares will stop. Next story. My father was a trucker. I became a diesel mechanic, kind of following in his footsteps. When I was about 6 years old, my father picked me up to do a haul of some chemicals down to a specific plant in New York. We picked up the load and headed out, but took a different route than usual. We passed our usual right-hand turn and proceeded a few more miles up the road. We came to an intersection that is a Y in reverse, and we were to take a right-hand turn. There was a restaurant across from us on the left as we turned the right and pulled over. My father told me to get out and kick the tires and take care of business, which meant to go take a leak. So, after doing my business between the dualies, I kicked the tires to check for flats as usual. As I turned around to my right, to the front of the truck, my father was pulling something large out of the cab of the truck. It looked heavy, and it was long. I asked him what it was, and he said, "It's just trash. Mind your business and get in the truck," he said. I hopped in the cab and half-assed watched my old man as he held this thing and dropped it into the cornfield. He got back in the truck and we took off, and that was that. In 1991, I heard about the body of a young girl that was found right there in that area that dated back to around the same time me and my old man used to run together. All these years, I can't help but wonder if that was what my old man pulled out of the cab of the truck. It's been 20 plus years now, and it still haunts me. Next story. I was headed down I-57 southbound last summer in the middle of nowhere. There's nothing but corn and soy for miles on end. It was mid-morning and already very hot that day. Anyway, I see this guy up ahead walking on the shoulder with his back to me. As I'm getting closer, I notice he's dressed pretty heavy for how hot it's outside. He had on heavy brown coveralls, brown jacket, and a matching brown hat. It struck me as something a mechanic or a local delivery driver would have worn in the 1940s or 50s, from what I've seen in old-timey photos. Before I got too close, I merged over to the left lane so I didn't buzz him. I couldn't get a good look at him while passing, but when I got back over and looked in my mirror, I couldn't see him anywhere. I got on the radio to alert other drivers, but the only response I got was another driver asking what the hell I was talking about. I guess nobody else saw him. I just thought it was weird because there weren't any disabled vehicles on the shoulder anywhere near where he was walking, and nobody was working the fields. So I didn't think it was a farmer, and the closest exit to where we were at would have been in the other direction that he was walking. Maybe 2 miles back versus 5 miles at least in the direction he was walking. He would have had to walk through heavy corn and soy fields if that's where he came out of. I guess someone could have kicked him out of their car and left him there, but there's no way he could have made it very far dressed like it was with winter. But in truth, it was pretty hot. And he wasn't carrying anything with him. I still don't know what to make of it. Just plain weird. Next story. Well, I'm not really convinced this was a hallucination because it was witnessed by two other people. I was about 16 or 17. I'd been at a party with my girlfriend and her friend. We left the party around 1 a.m. or so, and I was sober. The other two were a little buzzed. We were all joking around and talking, driving this old winding back road of rural Maine. We came around the corner by a little cemetery, and there's this tall, thin woman in what looked like a gown or long, thin coat standing on the shoulder of our lane, facing us head-on. We all shut up and just drove past in silence. None of us could come up with a reasonable explanation for what we saw. To make it even more odd, it was midwinter. I've seen people a couple of times who were out on the roads like that, late at night, early in the morning, walking somewhere, kicked out of the house, walking to work, whatever. But this was one I believe was a glimpse beyond the veil, so to speak. There was another time I saw two guys in tank tops and shorts late at night who looked like they were from the 1980s walking along a cemetery wall that is on a very curvy road. The catch was that it was the middle of winter and there was snow filling up the ditch that they were walking on. They should have been knee-deep and freezing. I turned around the first chance and they were gone. This cemetery wall is really long and tall, and there's nothing on the other side of the road, so they should have still been walking. A lot of people have died on the curves racing cars there. It's pretty wild. It's Lexington Road behind Cave Hill Cemetery in Louisville, Kentucky, if anyone's interested. Next story. This was about 20 years or so ago. My parents were hauling garbage on those walking floor trailers to a landfill in Pennsylvania. They arrived right at closing time, so they decided to sleep at a dirt road right before the base of the landfill. Everything went fine till around 1 or 2 a.m., where they woke up to the sound of people walking around the truck And when they felt someone climbing up on the truck, my father got up and checked. Nothing. So they went back to sleep. An hour later, similar thing happened. So they got out to investigate, and nothing. No trace, like footprints or anything. They were a little bit scared. After that, they were wide awake till opening time at 6 a.m. Afterwards, my dad commented to other truckers that go to the same facility, and they all said and described similar experiences. Whenever they had to sleep overnight at that facility, they always opted for the Super 8 that was a few miles away. Next story. I'm a truckie. Mainly do all road train work from Brisbane up around the top of Australia to Perth and along the Nullarbor. Seen some strange things, but nothing like this, mate. Never really ventured into Vic and New South Wales due to scalies and revenue raising, but had to do an express run to Melbourne via Sydney and had to come back up the Newell Highway to collect a load for Toowoomba. My boss said, I don't mind if you pull up before you get around Coonabarabran, as some drivers choose not to go through at night. And he said this with a giggle in his voice. I said, she'll be right, mate. Plenty of hours left, all good, so I hooked in. It was between Coonabarabran and Narrabri, and a Sheila, out of nowhere, flagged me down, hitchhiking, looking to go home to her camp, and I thought, why not? I said, hop in, and the hair stood up all over my body with an instant thought. I should have kept going. She stunk like nothing I smelled before, and the cab was destroyed with stench. She didn't say a word and just gazed ahead. About 20 kilometers down the road, and I hadn't passed not one vehicle, and then this old woman said, this is it, and I had to stop in a gully, and off she went with a bag. No thanks, nothing. I looked around, but not a thing in sight, with no lights or tracks or anything. Glad she was gone, because my guts were almost ready to explode. Pulled up the other side of Narrabri for a few hours and decided to get going at daybreak, but had to sleep in the trailer because the smell was horrible. Woke up to another truckie kicking his tires, doing a pre-start, and I climbed out, to which he replied, hey mate, they're working, you're pretty hard. I continued to explain the cab's absolutely stinking from the hitchhiker lady, and he went pale white and told me exactly where it happened. I said, yes, mate. I said, mate, that nutter was run over back in 1993 by a truck. I gulped and thought, what? Is this guy for real? This was in 2014, and to this day I'd never been anywhere near that part of New South Wales. Pilaga Princess is real for sure. I told the boss, and he laughed and said there's coldies in the fridge, so hurry up. He showed me the camera and the truck. We showed the passenger door open by itself and closed by itself. And I'm looking across, talking, but no one's in the video. Just thin air. Next story. I was at this rest area on I-90 West in Montana before you get to the Idaho border. I started my day really early at 2 a.m. because I wanted to find parking in Portland, Oregon, early enough to see my family. I stopped to go to the bathroom at the rest area and checked a strap that had come loose and was flopping in my mirror. I hopped out, fixed my strap, and walked inside. I felt wide awake that morning, so I was very awake and not groggy. Well, this place, it's up in the mountains, and it's miles from anything resembling civilization, and it's a chilly early spring morning. The rest area has lights on that can be seen through the windows. There's only one truck in this rest area with their curtains pulled and no cars to be seen. As most, there might be one other person here at the rest area, but he's probably asleep. The area was unusual in the fact that it's 8 individual private bathrooms that surround the perimeter of the larger common area instead of the typical one large bathroom area you typically see. Anyway, as soon as I started walking towards the rest area door, I felt a chill, and it kept feeling colder as I walked towards the door. I looked down at the curb to step up to it, and I looked back up towards the rest area, and I see a shadowy figure in the glass door of the rest area disappear off to the side of the window out of view. I remember thinking, that's odd. This lone guy in the truck must have gotten up to use the restroom, and I just saw his reflection in the window. I noticed as I got right up near the building that the snow was mostly melted all around the area surrounding the rest area, but the snow near the building looked mostly unmelted. Also odd, but whatever, I gotta use the bathroom. I opened the door, stepped inside. The place was very quiet, so much so that you could hear a pin drop. I picked one of the men's bathrooms and locked the door behind me. I walked up to the urinal and started doing my business. Just as I started to urinate, someone tugged the door handle behind me to see if it was locked. I've literally been in the bathroom for maybe 5 seconds. At this point, all the hair on my neck stood up. I didn't hear any footsteps outside or anyone coming in or out of that entrance door. Just as I was almost done at the urinal, I hear rattling outside in the common area that sounded almost like a janitor rolling a cart around. I stopped momentarily to listen, and then, all of a sudden, the toilets start flushing in every different bathroom at the same time. Literally, as soon as one toilet would finish flushing, the one in the next bathroom would go off. I looked over at the toilet expecting to see a malfunctioning auto-flush toilet, but they're all old-school manual flush handles. My blood immediately ran cold, as I was finally starting to grasp what was happening. I reached my hand out to grab the door handle. The flushing immediately stopped, and it was dead quiet once again. My hand was visibly shaking at this point as I flipped the lock open and quickly peeked my head into the common area. Nobody was there. I didn't believe in ghosts up until that day, so I wanted a rational explanation for what I just experienced. So I went looking in all the stalls, since they're all indicating they're vacant. I literally verified that not a single soul was there, and my blood ran cold against my chest because I knew for certain that the only explanation was because of a poltergeist or some type of paranormal activity. Spook, I exited the rest area in a fast walk. As I went underneath the second street light, it shut off. Now keep in mind that it's still completely dark outside, and it shouldn't be automatically turning off at this hour. I took off sprinting back to my truck and jumped into the driver's seat. I sat there, just stupefied by what just happened, for a few minutes, looking at the rest area to see if I could catch a glimpse of the ghost or someone hiding, messing with me, but there was nothing. Another trucker pulled in next to me. He got out of the truck, went inside the rest area. I waited to see what happened. He disappeared into a stall for a minute and came out. I could see in the window that he looked around like I was, and he took some glance over his shoulder as he walked back towards his truck. I rolled my window down and waved him over to my truck to talk to him. I asked him if he saw anything unusual in there. "Were you in there messing with the toilets?" was his response. I shook my head. "No." We both kind of gave each other the what the, you know what look, and both hauled ass out of there.